appreciate all of you that worshiped and the songs that we were singing about how great the Lord is. And I know I was talking this morning that in fact we are serving a great and mighty God, a very powerful God, a sovereign God, and that we are talking about his attributes and some of his power and what he has for us. And I know I was thinking as I was talking about some of those things that there was a Hollywood actor that not long ago made the news for hiring Navy SEALs to train his bodyguards for his children, because of their power and of their ability, and because they were able to be a protectant for his family. And I realize that when you talk about why do you trust God, you have to be born. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You have to somehow, because Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so it's kind of impossible to really trust somebody until you are connected with them from a sense of, and I mentioned my own granddaughter, and you know, does she trust yet? Well, in a child's way, yes, she trusts that whatever she finds and puts in her mouth, her parents will either jump up and grab it and get it out, or they'll in some way take care of her. And so when you look at some of the Old Testament prophets, and you look at Daniel and Isaiah and Job, and when you think how they, they put their complete trust in God, in the power of God, and that he was ever present, and that he was always there, and he did not have a beginning or an ending. And when you realize that, you know, as I read the scripture in Corinthians, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that's New Testament, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 24th verse. And when you realize that he is also all-knowing, you know, he is omniscient. And I've had people say, well, you don't understand. You don't understand my background. You don't understand what I went through, but I'm serving a God that understands, and a God that knows, and a God that is able to know just exactly where we are and what we've gone through. And then last but not least, that he is sovereign. He is the King. He is the King of glory. He is almighty. He is the one person that you would want to say, I want to, you know, he reigns over everything. So you would want him to be your bodyguard, if you will. But then I wanted to also, and I kind of told you this morning that I want to talk not just about his attributes. God has powerful attributes, and I only covered three or four of them, but there are more than that in the Word. And I realize that, you know that he has more than just attributes of power and eternally powerful and omniscience and sovereignty and all of those things, but he also has a perfect and a divine character. He has integrity. He can be trusted. There's something about it. He is, as the Bible says, he's morally perfect. He is, in fact, holy. He is truthful. He is righteous. He is just. And so when you think in terms of, he is not going to betray you. You know, there are sometimes you have people that you would say, well, I trusted him. And David even wrote in one of his Psalms, people that I trusted betrayed me. People that I put my faith in turned their back on me. People that I believed would be there, they would be my, have my back, all of a sudden didn't have have my back. I want to tell you, that doesn't happen with God. And that's why, you know, if there's anybody you can trust, and I encourage, you know, and I try to encourage people that you've got to make God a part of your life, because it's the God part that can be ultimately trusted.
Yes.
You know, I don't trust myself. I don't trust anyone when they get rid of a relationship with God, because God is holy and he has integrity. In Exodus it says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" In the New Testament, Paul wrote about it. I read it in the Amplified Classic. He said, "There is no condemnation, no a judging of guilty of the wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit." I'm not trustworthy if I'm not following the Spirit. Because if my flesh starts dictating my behavior, well, I don't want this and I don't want that, then all of a sudden I no longer become trustworthy, because I become selfish and self-centered. Huh? And so he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh. The entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh." Notice what he said he did. He subdued it. He overcame it. He deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So when you tell me, "I just can't do it, I can't conquer my flesh," I'm here to tell you, I know somebody whose character is holy, and if you will let him help you, he will be able to give you the power to conquer your flesh. You say, "Well, but you don't understand. I've been living this way for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. Let me tell you who I trust. Almighty God. He is able. Verse 4 says, "So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit." Our lives controlled by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, I want my life." This is why we talk about you need to be born again, water and spirit. You need to open up, let the Holy Ghost flow through you. You need to open up and say, "Lord, I need you to fill me up again." It's like driving on empty. It's like not having any, you know, power. It's like not being plugged in. It's like, well, you say, "Well, I don't need that. I am quite capable of by my own willpower. I can my own willpower," and it becomes will worship. Because I will do this on my own. But when I need to recognize, "Lord, I need you every day," I need to have that my first prayer in the morning. "Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. I want you to control my life." John said in his gospel, the first gospel of John, the first book of John, he says, "My little children, I write unto you these things so that you may not violate God's law and sin. But if anyone should sin, we have an advocate, one who will intercede for us with the Father. It is Jesus Christ, the all righteous, upright, just, who conforms to the Father's will in every purpose, thought, and action." I don't want you to raise your hand if you do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But most of us, if we go by that verse, we realize I fall short of the glory of God, and I need another. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. Yeah. That's why we sing, how great is our God. That's why we need, oh, I can do this all on my own. No, I need the body. I need the strength. I need the worship. I need the praise. Why? Because I need to get back in touch with the Spirit. And it says, and he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, not for our sins alone, but also for the sins of the entire world. What are you saying? That because of who he is, I can be different. It's not because I'm so good. It's not because I have a strong willpower. And I've had people say, well, I wasn't raised that way, and so I don't have the willpower. You don't need the willpower. As a matter of fact, trying to have the willpower is probably the worst thing you need to do. You need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Say, well, what do you mean? Well, Simon wrote about it, and he was the one that had denied the Lord. And yet he said, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now that, we know he's holy. And then the next question is there an absolute truth? And that's where people get all a little bit, they get a little bit nervous, because they say, is there absolute truth? Is the Word of God the absolute truth? And unfortunately, we're living in an hour when a lot of people just say, And the way they read it is, well, I don't think God meant this, and I don't think he meant that, and I think he made a mistake when he meant this. And I realize what they do is they turn to, ceremonial laws of the Old Testament and laws of separation, and don't put these two things together, and don't do this. And then we have people that'll go, well, what does this mean if you do this? And then we've had people that have probably preached it wrong. Well, you're going to split hell wide open, or you're going to do. And yet, this is the absolute truth. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, and the Word was God. And when you realize, more and more and more, I think Ted Koppel coined the phrase many years ago, it's no longer the Ten Commandments, it's the Ten Suggestions. And, I know he wants us to do that, but I just don't know. I want to tell you, it's thou shalt not. Why? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The more you cut some of this out, the less perfect.
Think about it.
And I realize times have changed. I got it. I found an old slide rule the other day, and know that you, that my, not my age, if you're younger than my age, you probably don't know what that is, but that was our first calculator. We could multiply and multiply by pi and all kinds of things with a slide rule. And now my grandchildren look at it and go, well, where are the inches and the centimeters? And it had nothing to do with that. So this was my calculator. I'm not saying that, we don't have to keep up with the times, but there's still some these things that the Word of God says to avoid, the things that the Word of God says, be careful, don't let this rule and reign in your life. Be careful, don't allow yourself to have another God before me. All these things, I want to tell you, it still applies today. So why do I trust God? Because he is holy. And because he is righteous, he does what is right. I don't ever have to doubt that he is going to do the right thing.
Right.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said it, and shall he not do it? He hath spoken, and shall he not make it good? Sanctify them through truth, thy truth, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In the 14th chapter, in the 16th verse, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. This is why, if you are full of the Holy Ghost and you do something and you feel a little bad and there's something inside you that goes, I shouldn't be doing that, that's what the Spirit of truth is doing, trying to convict you. And so you have two options. You either ignore it and say, well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to have that voice. I don't want to listen to that. I want to put that, I don't want to do what that voice says. I don't believe that that's, I. And what he says, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it hath not, it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, and he dwells in you, and shall with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I realize when you talk about Pilate, and when Jesus was going to be crucified, Pilate questioned him, are you the king? And he said, to that end I was born, that end I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And you know what Pilate's response was? What is truth? Because you see, even then, you know, we have my truth and your truth, and everybody has a little bit of truth, and it's partial truth, and it's spin, and all of that. And let me tell you, the more you have people that have all of these layers of truth, the less you can trust them. Huh? When you start digging down, I mean, I you know, where were you today? Well, I had to go to, you know, whatever. Oh, so you went by the store? Well, no, I actually went yesterday, but Well, where were you today? Well, I mean, how much do you want to put out? How can you trust that? You say, well, I have to keep, you know, one phone for this and one phone for that, and I have to have a different address. There's no truth. The Lord is righteousness. That's why the Lord told him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I know the line of that movie, whatever his name was, I forgot, Jack Nicholson or something said, you can't handle the truth. And most of the time, folks are afraid of the truth. So they tell a half truth and a partial truth and a third of truth. And then when somebody finds out that it was a half truth, what do? They lose their trust. And I try to explain to couples that are newly wed or going to be married or whatever, be careful, because the more you use these half truths, the more you're destroying the foundation of your marriage. You know, well, I, why? Because people can't trust you. I understand. We've all, you know, said we were going to be somewhere and something happened and we didn't. I get it. I'm not talking about, you know, things, accidents happen and things, but I'm talking about there are people nowadays that just live in a world of make-believe. I can get online and pretend I'm anything and everything and I can do, and I live in this half-truth, and at some point, that's not who God is. And I'm thankful. That's why I trust him, because he is absolute truth. Now, sometimes it gets, you know, a little tight whenever he says, Pastor, you need to start doing a little better here. Huh? And I hear that voice. I don't like that, but I know it's absolutely correct. It's absolute truth because he is righteous. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, David said in Psalms, holy in all of his works. He is nigh, near unto those that call on him, and that to all that call on him in truth. The Psalms 119th chapter, he said, righteous. Oh, I hit it and you hit it, I think. Sorry. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and are very faithful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is, now he brings in another attribute, merciful. Man, am I thankful that he's merciful. Amen? Gracious is the Lord and righteous and merciful. Ephesians said it like this, if so be you've heard of him and been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt in deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created, how? In righteousness and true holiness. Not talking, I understand, you know, we think holiness, well, that means that you, you know, dress or look a certain way. That's part of it. But there is a true holiness that comes from Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And, you know, it's not you can fake me out and say I'm doing. But, you know, there is something about being truthful and honest before God and being real and saying, Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me. That's why Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare not my righteousness, but his righteousness. That's why I had someone telling me this week, you know, that first service they came to church, they met somebody, and that individual had cussed them out, and somebody else they met, that individual had done something to them during the week, and I was just, you know, I was like, oh, cringing, I'm so sorry, I hate to hear that, I know, it wasn't me, it wasn't here, it wasn't in my watch, I realized, but we are supposed to be, it's supposed to change us 24 hours a day, 7 days. It's not about dressing up and coming on Sunday morning and looking the part and doing it, okay, I'm here and everybody knows who I am and I can fake everybody out. You know what? Your bodyguard can't be faked out. He knows what you're doing 24/7. If you don't have a bodyguard, you need to get in relationship and have one. And be real and honest. Because it's his righteousness, not mine. And guess what? He is just and the justifier. I need to be very real with him because he's the one that's going to be justifying me. So I got to be honest. You say, well, life's not fair. This has happened. This is not fair. I don't understand. I don't understand why I have one son here who's battling sickness, another son who had to battle to come. I don't understand why this problem. I don't understand. That is not fair. God's not fair. God, listen, that's not my God. He is just and fair. He is just and fair. And you have to get that settled in your mind. You can say, well, I don't get it, what this happened. And but let me tell you, Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Moses said, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You say, well, it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel fair according to my definition of fair. Well, that's because your definition is coming from your heart, and your heart, like my heart, according to Jeremiah, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it's very selfish. And yet, what the Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins. What are the reins? Anybody know what a horse has? Huh? Reins and a bit. And I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of trying to ride a horse, but you know, when you have a horse that is well trained, you don't have to go, you cut their mouth. You don't have to, you know, what does it take to turn your head? What does it take to get you to turn your head in a different direction? What's it take to get you to? He said, the Lord said, I try your reins. And even to give every man according to his ways and the fruit of his doing. Wow. God judges the righteous. He's angry with the wicked every day. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, the secret sins in light of thy countenance. Teach us to number our days. We get 70. That's 70 years. A score is 20. If by reason of strength we can live to 80. Some have lived longer, but we're soon cut off. We fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart to wisdom, because God is just. He is going to bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it's good or evil, and there are numerous verses. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul told the church at Galatia, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man sows, you're going to reap. You say, well, I don't really want a bodyguard that is just. I want to tell you, yes, you do. Because if he was not just, then he could join the other side if he got a better offer. If he wasn't just, it wouldn't be a need to be merciful. And Paul was very clear. You have hardness in your heart and impenitent heart, and you're getting yourself treasuring up. You're lining up wrath, who's going to render to every man according to his deeds, some to eternal life, some to wrath, some that won't obey the truth. Obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath and tribulation, but glory and honor to everyone, and peace that does good to the Jew and the Gentile. There's no respecter of persons. He told him in Corinthians, everybody's going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body. I don't want to hear that, but it's truth. Read Revelation. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that, Pastor. But it's time for you to understand that's one of the greatest attributes of God, that he is just, because he is also the justifier. What are you saying? I don't want to hear how just he is, but that's because if you only think of his integrity And you don't think about his relational attributes. You know, here he is, all powerful, all amazing, all holy. Then you got to recognize the integrity of God, that he's just, he's holy, he's righteous. But thank God, he's willing to have a relationship with me. That's what makes it so amazing. How could a just God, a God that is so holy, be willing? And I know it's hard to imagine that you could say, if you didn't have this relational aspect, you would be depressed if you just thought about his integrity. That's why John would say, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. That doesn't mean that he's still not just. Doesn't mean that he's still not righteous, but he is loving. What a privilege. He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Oh, if God so loved us, we ought to do what? Love one another. Go on. You know, you could immediately say, you know, that he is lovingly committed to our well-being. Unconditionally, lovingly committed to my well-being. You could look at, I mean, even Jesus, that's why one of the stories that's so amazing in the New Testament is about the woman taken in the act of adultery. And here is a holy, just, righteous God. And he writes in the sand. Why is he doing all of that? Because he knows that they have to all leave, because the Bible is very clear. It's just. You have to have two witnesses. He knows what she did, but that's why the first question he asks when he gets up from the ground is, woman, where are your accusers? Because if there's not one, then I don't accuse you either. Case closed. Wow. Ephesians, Paul said it. He had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. How? In love. By this you're going to be known as my disciples. By how holy you are. By how righteous you are. By how truthful you are. By how amazing you are. Yes, those things are wonderful parts of integrity. But let me tell you another wonderful one. By how much you love. This is why you'll hear me say, it's easy to point out somebody's flaws, but are you praying for them? Do you love them enough to pray for them? You're not being like God if all you do is point out their wrong. I don't want God just doing that to me. Huh? You say, oh, but Pastor predestinated us according to the adoption of children to the good pleasure of his will, that he hath made us accepted in the beloved, whom we have redemption of through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called the what? Sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself as he is pure. And I know, 601, I just got a couple more slides. I'm just going to talk about these relational, the fact that he loves us so much. He is so merciful. He is so loving that he is willing to forgive. I already mentioned John 8 with the woman caught in adultery. Psalms 100, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Matthew 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Because of who he is relationally, I know he is faithful. He will keep his promises and his word. That's why David could say, Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about. 1 Thessalonians, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. And then you know what the next verse says? Faithful is he who hath called you, who also... Because he is faithful. I know I don't deserve it. I don't deserve being forgiven. I don't deserve his mercy. I don't, you know, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who hath promised. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. But the Lord is faithful. I know a lot of people that are not faithful. I've had people that have been unfaithful. You would like to say, okay, well, I can trust everybody who's faithful. And I understand, and it's easy to lose sight, but I want to tell you, God has never failed us yet. Amen. He has been faithful. Faithful, we used to sing the song, faithful, God is faithful. What are you talking about? That's why I trust him. That's why I have faith in him. That's why I will call on him in the midnight hour. Paul said in Corinthians, oh, that you come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You may not be able to trust people, but you can trust God. People may fail you, but you can trust God. And you have to know this, every good and perfect gift is from above. What are you saying? I'm saying, if you feel like, you know, I just don't understand, you need to talk to your bodyguard. You need to talk to the Lord. You need to reestablish, because I want to tell you, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, 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 and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. I understand. You know, people come and go, and this happens and that happens, and somebody, yeah, I get it. Lots change, but God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and he is unchanging. He is a powerful God, and not only does he have powerful integrity, but he is relational. And that's why we say, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's why it becomes, you know what? It's not about who I am, but it's about who he is. And that's where it's all, when I stand and I say, how great is the Lord? When I say, faithful Lord, you've been faithful. What? You go through some stuff, and you know, it's easy for the enemy to try to, you know, get us off and say, well, God doesn't care about you. God's not interested in you. And God doesn't care what you're going through. And nobody seems to care. And you're all alone. And nobody is interested. And nobody, I understand, you know, and you can come and you can say, well, pastor is not nice. And I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't shake your hand this morning or tonight. But I'm here to tell you, don't ever tell me that God is not faithful and just and righteous and holy. You can find fault with a lot of people. You can find fault with people in church, out of church, wherever. but you never find fault with God. God is faithful. And when you start getting your eyes on everybody else is when you start having problems, because you're looking at the wrong thing. Keep your eyes on Him. He is faithful. He is just. Oh, and I've had people say, well, I don't know. I wish you'd get them. I wish you'd get them. I wish they need to be got. They need to be strangled. They need to be drugged behind the car. And I think, you don't know how many times in my flesh I've wanted to drag some people behind the car and maybe choke them out. Huh? But you know who I have to serve? Yes, have to get direction from? I wish I could do what I want, when I want, but it would. Wait a minute. My bodyguard says, leave it alone. I got to deal with it. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Sorry. We're 8 minutes late. Good to have all of you here. Let's come. If you've never been born again, come. If you don't know Him relationally, this is a time to start meeting Him. Know who He is. Let Him fill you with the Spirit. Hallelujah.